website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk. This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day as we face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's called the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, God's Word has the history, past, present, and future as to what has taken place, what is taking place, what shall take place in this old world. May I say to you, may I commend to you the Word of God. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said this: "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." What am I saying? Based on those words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only source of truth is the Word of God, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. In fact, Jesus says, "I am truth," and it's the truth of the Word of God that stands today. "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." John 17:17 amplifies on that when it says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the Word of God that should count today. And may I say, the truth of God's word endures forever, according to Psalms 117 and verse 2. Many people, in fact, more and more people today than I've seen in my lifetime, and I'm still under 100, as I like to say, still disbelieve in the relevancy of truth. I believe it goes back to a statement by the secularist George Orwell that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that to be factually true today. But truth still matters whether we embrace it or reject it, whether we believe it or disbelieve it. In fact, I'm looking at a headline: "Most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth." And the article, it opens with the Webster's Dictionary stating, "Truth. Truth is the body of real things. Truth is body of real events, real facts, actualities, and the state of being the case in fact." But yet the millennials, the 18 to 35-year-old age group, according to this survey, says 55% say that there's no absolute truth. Each and every person determines his or her own version of truth. That's sad. That's frightening. That's concerning. It should bring about great consternation. But I go back to a fundamental statement from Jan Hus, the 15th century theologian and church reformer, made this statement: "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." That same Jan Hus made a statement: "Do not be afraid to stand alone if it means standing for what is true." It is a truthful fact, I believe, that as Christians, we have deviated, as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, we've deviated from the standard of truth. We find that happening today. The president, 47th president-to-be, is now appointing his cabinet, and you're finding a whirlwind, the swirling of lies. It is the I believe, the greatest whirlwind of lies I've seen of recent years, where those that are being appointed by the president are being demeaned, condemned, degraded, and maligned in every fashion possible. Part of that's what we'll talk about on the broadcast today. But the main thing I want us to understand is we need to be thankful and thanking God for America, even with the things that we see that are happening. Thanking God for America. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals seeking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the homeowner as well as the professional lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291, Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. Standing on the campus of Tools for Time is a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole is U.S. flag Old Glory flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole at the base of the flagpole. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, I'll take a brief monologue. Then we're going to open our lines for our callers today, and then I'll introduce our very special guest today as we talk about some of these issues. We're going to be talking about what is taking place on the global scene, the national scene. We'll talk about what is taking place with Trump's appointees, some of those appointees. We'll talk about whether or not the 17th Amendment gets in the way of accomplishing what needs to be done. We'll talk about the potentiality of the Trump appointees being appointed and confirmed by a vote, or by the absence of a vote, if you will, by a recess of the Senate. Is that good or is that bad? Ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk about a number of things. Should Alvin Bragg's case against Donald Trump simply be put on ice, frozen for 4 years, or should it be dismissed? We'll talk about a number of these issues today. One of the top things that I think we need to understand is that the courts still work. For example, in Georgia, illegal immigrant found guilty of murdering Lakin Riley, sentenced to life in prison without parole. We'll touch on that briefly. But the major, major thing is, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, I believe we need to be thanking God for America. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm persuaded that we're now witnessing what I call the beginnings of serious change in America. You heard me. I believe we're on the very threshold of seeing very serious tectonic changes in our nation. Are they good? For the most part, yes. Will there be difficulties? Yes. Will there be resistance to the changes that are for good? Absolutely, unequivocally. I believe we'll watch the long knives, the pitchforks, the hammers, and the cudgels coming out of the closets of the socialist Marxist media, out of the closets of the woke Marxist, communist, socialist Democratic Party. We're going to watch some major, major, major pummeling of our future president, Donald J. Trump. In fact, as I've said many times during the past few days, I believe these next 60 days are going to be the most dangerous, dark, devastating, difficult days in our history as the left tries to prevent the seating, the confirmation and the seating and the swearing in of President Donald J. Trump. I believe we're watching the aggressive, most aggressive resistance from the woke left that's ever been seen in our nation's history. Ladies and gentlemen, even Christians, conservatives, patriots, we need to continue to pray for the present president, Donald J. Trump. Pray for his safety. Pray for his wisdom. Pray for God to use him in a mighty way. I believe, if I can insert this little parenthetical footnote, once again, I say that I believe God divinely intervened in this election process and helped us as a nation to overcome the millions of phony, fraudulent, false, illegal votes to still win for Donald J. Trump. I'm thankful for it. We need to thank God for America, for our Constitution, for our Bill of Rights. We need to thank God for our religious liberties and freedom of speech. We need to be thankful today that God has divinely intervened in the election of Trump. 312 Electoral College votes and the majority of the popular vote. That's a pretty good election. We, the conservatives, I'm sure there's some rhinos in there. I'm saying it as a blanket statement. I believe that we control the House, the Senate, and the Oval Office. And I believe there are many things that God can do during the course of the days before us if we continue to pray for Donald J. Trump, if we continue to thank God for his intervention. We must thank the Lord, ladies and gentlemen, for giving us America and for giving America another opportunity and privilege of celebrating this Thanksgiving. Keep in mind, in Colossians 3:15, there's the declaratory statement. It's in the imperative voice in the Greek text. Be ye thankful. And so regardless of what we see taking place, regardless of the ups and downs and the difficulties we're going to see in the next several days, we need to still be thankful. Keep in mind, in 1620, with the pilgrims that had just gotten in, over half of them that came in on the Mayflower died because of the cold, cold winter and because of not having enough food to eat. They still had Thanksgiving. They had a Thanksgiving celebration. And as a result of that thankfulness, in 1621, they had a massive increase in harvest and had a major, major celebration of thanking the Lord. I believe whether it's good or bad, whether it's plenty or poor, we need to be thankful this Thanksgiving. And I'm thankful for the privilege of saying, be ye thankful, as God's word says it, thanking God for America. I believe we're going to see the rhinos and the Marxists and the House and the Senate attempting to do what they can to simply Trump-proof, as they're calling it, all of the governmental offices. The President Trump, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, is going to implement the draining of the swamp and the cleaning of the sewer as never considered possible. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. WM Blood.
Yes, sir. Go ahead with your question.
Okay, you dead on point. And everybody that he's appointed in his cabinet, I think, and I pray to God, they will not be like the swamp. And that's why the Democrats are so pissed off. Like I said, I'm 70. Don't know, 71. But I tell you, he ran this country like a business almost. And we had so much, and I hope he opened up the Keystone Pipeline again, because one time I was paying like $1.99 just for gas. The food was in everywhere. When, not Crazy Joe, but his puppet masters, they threw us in the sewers.
Yep. Well, that's one of the things that makes the left so apoplectic today, is because they see the potentiality of Trump coming in and carrying out his promise to drain the swamp and clean the sewer. And so that's the reason I'm advocating this Thanksgiving season, especially, that we need to be thankful for what God has done, thankful for the potentiality of what God shall do, thankful that God is still on the throne, and thankful that he divinely intervened and gave us Donald J. Trump. I believe it was a reprieve from sure demise for our nation. I believe it has put not the brakes on, but it slowed down the course of deterioration for God's judgment to continue over a nation, America, that said no to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I believe that that's where we need to see, what we need to understand, and as we're around the table celebrating this Thanksgiving, I believe we need to openly, verbally recognize and praise God for what he's done and divinely intervening. As I told some of the folks in our church last evening for our Thanksgiving dinner at church, I made the statement, we are celebrating a new Thanksgiving, a different Thanksgiving. There's a different feel in the air, if you want to call it that. There's a sense of exuberance. There's a sense of hope. There's a sense of another new day. There's a sense of the potentiality, the possibilities that we did not see just 6 months ago. So that gives us opportunity, Kenneth, to be really thankful this Thanksgiving season, thanking God for what he's done. Thank you so much for your call. Keep looking up.
Yes, sir.
Our redemption draweth nigh. God bless you and have a happy Thanksgiving. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce to you our special guest today. Many of you have heard him before. Many of you have called in asking questions. But it's my delight to recognize our special guest, Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill is the former District 1 representative for the state of Florida, the House of Representatives. Congressman Hill, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me on your show. I think this is the second time that I've been on your show since President Trump's election, and I am still celebrating that great day when America turned around and said enough of the crazy left and that we want to get back to normalcy again.
Absolutely. It is something that we need to recognize that God is doing it. God's still on the throne. God's not abandoned us yet, as I like to say. Congressman Hill, let's start with the question that I believe perhaps is on everyone's heart and mind, whether they verbalize it or not. There's a lot of consternation going on about the high, when, where, what, and the things that are taking place in relationship to President Trump's nominees. And with that being said, what are your thoughts about the House and the Senate? And primarily, let's focus on something that I'm sure you're familiar with that could digest for us and speak about. Look at an article that says, George McClellan, are we witnessing a miracle of God's work in action? I read the article. It's a multi-page article. I believe you're familiar with the article. It starts out, said the deck chairs on the progressive ship of the state are starting to float away. It is with tears the Democrats despair. It is on the tears of Democrats' despair. The rising hysteria of the left of Trump's total sweep over the progressive champion, both with electoral and electoral and popular vote, is driving them nuts. Talk about that article where this man said, this individual says, it's the miracle of God's. It's God's work in action. How do you view that? How do you respond to that? And what do you say to our listeners?
Dr. Youngblood, I agree with that 100%, that what we saw with this recent election, not just of President Trump, but what we saw of conservative senators being elected, taking a majority in the Senate and also in the House, that Republicans took a majority there. I believe that was God in action, and thank goodness it was a move of God filled with grace and mercy. It could have been a move filled of vengeance upon this nation, but instead we witnessed his grace and mercy again. And it's tremendous. The thing we have to keep in mind, Dr. Youngblood, is even though God will extend his mercy upon us, those on the left are not going to give up. They're not just going to roll over and say, well, you know, the right one, let's go ahead and just go along with them and let's see how this works out. No, they are going to double down because that's who they are. They are going to continue fighting is something that we're going to have to continue to remain vigilant against to make sure that we show our gratitude to the mercy and grace that God has extended us and not to waste it.
You're exactly right, and I'm thankful for your statements on that. As I've said recently, I believe many Christians, many conservatives, many patriots in America recognize and rejoice, recognize God's hand, and rejoice in the election of President Trump. But I believe that it is a real fear of mine that Christians will stop praying, we'll sit back and say, look what God's done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And nothing being done in the future. I think we need to keep praying because I believe, and I want you to jump in, give your thoughts. I believe the next approximate 60 days will be torrential, stormy, and dangerous in the state, in the United States of America, with those with the cudgels and the long knives and the pitchforks trying to destroy the potential of not just Donald Trump's being seated, but the potential of him having a cabinet of his choice. Speak to that. What do you see on the horizon between now and the 20th of January?
Well, what's amazing for me to see, Dr. Youngblood, is that Donald Trump is not wasting time right now. He is in Mar-a-Lago meeting daily throughout the day and into the night to get his cabinet, to get his program in place. Those who he wants to help lead this nation back to a form of sanity. I was at a conference in Washington, D.C. this past weekend, and one of the guest speakers Speaker Mike Johnson was one of the guest speakers. And he confirmed what I just said. He said, I just left Mar-a-Lago 4 a.m. this morning, and he was speaking to us around 1 o'clock or so in the afternoon. I left Mar-a-Lago at 4 a.m. this morning, got a little bit of sleep, he said, and right after I finish speaking to you, I'm going to head back to Mar-a-Lago because that's where the power decision-making is going on right now. And I was pleased to hear from Speaker Johnson. He spoke for about a half hour, and I will admit that my impression of him grew. It increased three to fourfold when before I simply thought he was way in over his head in that position as being speaker. But as he spoke, and he oftentimes referenced the Bible, quoted scripture, and Dr. Youngblood, you and I can tell the difference when someone is faking it.
Yes.
When they're trying to quote scripture and they don't do it right and so forth. But it was obvious that he knew and understood the Bible as he spoke. And what I saw him recognize is that he must be involved as a speaker in this process of President Trump choosing his cabinet, choosing those who are going to be leading this next administration, and he wanted to be in the thick of it. He says, right after I finish speaking with you, I'm headed back to Mar-a-Lago, because that's what's going on now. And I think between now and the time that President Trump is inaugurated, and then when he takes office on January 20th, we're going to see things moving at a lightning speed, because President Trump won't have a lot of time. 4 years is not a lot of time. In fact, it'll be a short 2 years before elections in the House come up again. And so he's going to have to get things done very quickly, including extending the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which passed in 2017 and due to expire next year. That has to be extended, plus more added to it. More tax cuts need to be added to that. Cut spending, and I think we're going to see that happening very quickly next year.
Absolutely. Congressman Hill, ladies and gentlemen, this is Congressman Mike Hill, former District 1 Florida House Representative, that we're talking with today about some of the current very pertinent issues that I believe we need to understand and think on. Congressman Hill, I'm thinking about touching on what you just said about President Trump's appointees. This is my thought. You correct me if I'm wrong, or you make some changes, and let's clarify it. If the Senate starts right at this moment interviewing the appointees and let's say they could interview 4 or 5 a day and wrestle with approval or disapproval, we're looking at 90 days to 120 days at the least for them to be able to have a full cabinet approved for President Trump. What are your thoughts about that process? You are more familiar with the internal workings in that sense than I am, and I'm sure that our listeners would be. So what are your thoughts about that process? And linked to that question, should Trump just simply ask Thune, the head of the Senate, the new head of the Senate, ask Thune to do a recess and allow him to one fell sweep make the appointments, and those appointments would be for up to 2 years. What are your thoughts on that? Clarify some of the mechanics of that for our listeners.
Well, taking your last question and statement first, Dr. Youngblood, should the new Senate or Majority Leader Thune put the Senate in a recess and allow Trump to do recess appointments of all those who he wants to bring into his cabinet? I would say I'm against that, Dr. Youngblood. And the reason why I'm against it is twofold. One, there's a process in place intentionally so that those who are going to be part of the cabinet can be vetted properly. Now, did Republicans properly vet all those who were put into the Biden cabinet and administration? The obvious answer is no. But just because they didn't do it doesn't mean that we have to operate the same way. So I would say let's not, one reason why not to do recess appointments. It has to be these confirmation hearings and coming before the Senate for a vote. That makes that process public. Everyone could see, and our government is supposed to be by the people. It needs to be open and public. Secondly, when Obama tried to do that during his administration, those of us on the right says, no, you cannot do that. We screamed and yelled. It went to the Supreme Court, and the U.S. Supreme Court says, no, you cannot do recess appointments. So if Obama couldn't do it, then Trump shouldn't be able to do it either. We should go through the process properly, vetting these people who he has appointed to those positions.
Let me throw in a thought there. That was in 2014 when the Supreme Court made the ruling. And it's my understanding in reading their opinion, what had taken place with Obama, they had set up with 1, 2, 3, 4 day recess. U.S. Supreme Court said you can't do that, but they did have a caveat that there can be recess appointments, but the recess must be a minimum of 10 days. Now, I've never understood the arbitrary, capricious 10-day ruling and studying that decision. But nevertheless, and I go back to the fact that even as far back as George Washington, they had recess appointments. I've forgotten one of the Bushes, I've forgotten which one did something like, used it, something like, and I could be corrected on which president, but one of them in the recent years used the recess appointments, I think they said 178 different times to appoint. George H.W. Bush, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, Joe Biden have used those that opportunity because it's found in our Constitution in Section Article 2 for the president that he can do recess appointments. But I think it was abused. So I think you're right that the abusing of it, but based on my observation and the way I'm hearing now in article after article after article where there are those that are saying, no, 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 we're not going to let that person pass, that person pass. If Trump wants those for cabinet, why can't he have his cabinet? That's my thought. And we're about to take a news break, Congressman Hill, but I want you to ponder this during the break. Then we'll come back after the break. The 17th Amendment, how does that play into the process of this recess appointments and or the open hearings with the Senate making the decision? The 17th Amendment, is that questionable? Is it good or bad? Hang in there, Congressman. Don't and ladies and gentlemen, don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news break.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WAT.